This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, if you happen to live in Boise, Idaho, or surrounding areas, Lady to Lady is coming to you.
Yeah, come see your girlsies in Boise.
That's right. We will be there the first weekend of March 2020, doing some shows and a live podcast. We're there March 7th and 8th at the last, what is that? I keep forgetting.
The last lounge at the end of the universe.
Last lounge at the end of the universe.
Guys, it's the week before my birthday.
Oh my God.
It's Brittany's.
It's not even a birthday week anymore.
It's a week. It's my week before my birthday week.
Yeah. It's my birthday fortnight. Yeah. Come like party, pre-party with my birthday. Seriously, though, we probably will be in a celebratory mood.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a live stand-up show on March 7th at 8 p.m. And then the next day, work off your hangovers at our podcast at noon. Mm-hmm. And then if you want even more of us, we are doing a podcast workshop after that at 3 p.m. Where we will be talking, you know, all the tips and tricks of the trade to,
if you want to learn to be like us, come to that podcast workshop. It's a pretty good time.
It's going to be fun. We've done it before. They're super fun. And like, you know,
We give you kind of everything you need to start your own podcast.
Yeah. Also, it's International Women's Day. On the 8th. We're celebrating. Come celebrate that in style with your ladies.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And we have, you know, the links on our website, and you can also go to our Twitter and all of our socials to buy tickets and all that stuff. So we hope to see you out there.
Hell you.
See you, Boise.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. It's Babs. You get two pre-roll show promotions on this episode. Lucky you. Coming to you live from the storage room of my day job. Please come out and see my solo show, Babs Do It. It's going to be Sunday, February 23rd. Oh, God. Sunday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. at Lyric Hyperion Theater. I've only done it one other time. It was really fun and really stupid. And it'll be even more fun and more stupid. So if you're in the L.A. area, come out and see my show, Babs Do It, Sunday, February 23rd at 7 p.m. I'd love to see you there. Tickets will be online on Eventbrite. They'll be cheaper online than they will be at the door, so buy them online first. I'll link to it on my Twitter, etc. That is Sunday, February 23rd, 7 p.m. at Lyric Hyperion Theater in Silver Lake. Come out and see me be dumb. Okay.
I'm Babs Gray, and how many episodes of Succession did you watch before seeing a guy you hooked up with in a bathroom at a wedding?
I'm Brandy Posey, and to me, you're Coyote Beautiful, baby.
I'm Tess Barker, and are they called chickpeas because girls love hummus?
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out. Your favorite ladies, ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hell yeah, doing this live on location. Not live, because you're listening to it whenever you listen to it.
It's live for us.
It's live for us. Yeah, we're alive right now while recording it. That's the important thing.
Close to the Century City Westfield Mall. We feel comfortable. We feel like we're in our zone.
Yeah. We're in Italy vicinity. So excited for our guest today. She's been a huge inspiration to me as a runner and a writer, and she's just fabulous, and I'm so excited to have her here. She's an Olympian and an award-winning writer and filmmaker. She represented Greece in the 2016 Summer Olympics, where she broke a Greek record, and she has a new movie coming out with Nick Kroll, Olympic Dreams. Alexi Pappas is here.
I am so thrilled to be here, and I'm glad to be among a peer who crosses over both of my worlds, the athletic and creative.
I think that's why, like, I've been so, like, as soon as I think I found you on Instagram, and I was like, this is my jam, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
It's important to whatever, like, be. I think if you're not expressing your full self, you'll never be great in any one thing, even if your full self is one thing, you have to like be what you are.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, we're complex beings, and it's nice to be able to like just express yourself in different ways too.
Yeah.
Because it's like when one door feels like, okay, cool, I've done enough there. I'm like kind of burnt out here. Let me move in this direction. It's nice to get to mix it up.
Yeah. Even within a day, it's like one can relieve the other. Like there's something very different about athletics and like creative stuff that like one is always a refreshment to the other.
I think that's the benefit of having a foot in each, is that they each feel like a vacation, so you never feel like you're working.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or totally. You're just always working.
Yeah. But you find a way to make it fun. I mean, I just love all your poems about running, and all your stuff is so inspirational because you're so about finding the joy in the challenge.
Yeah. Or at least amusing in it, because at least expecting it too.
Right.
I think that's a big thing. It's like, it's hard, but if you can greet like pain or challenge like an expected guest at your dinner party where it's not so offensive, then it becomes a little more fun, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not less painful, but more fun.
Yeah. What was that like for you? I mean, did you always sort of have that attitude in your running and in your creative work, or how did you sort of arrive where you are now with that outlook?
I think, you know, I'm working on a book with Random House, and it's coming out this August, and I think it goes into like why I have like the worldview I have, and I know, we're all funny people, but I had a very challenging, like very early childhood experience. My mom took her own life when I was 4.
Oh, geez.
And I think when that happens, you just are exposed to like a certain kind of like bad pain. Mm-hmm. And it gave me, you know, a big like motivation to chase good pain, which I associate with running. I associate it with writing, and just like kind of being a little more honest. And so I think, and also playful, because like, as long as I'm alive and don't want to die, I think it's like a pretty good day, you know? And I know that sounds crazy, but like really, you know,
I mean, you're talking to 3 comics. I think we definitely get it. Absolutely.
We toe that line a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like your pendulum. The deeper it swings one way, the deeper it's able to swing back the other too, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And comedy is like, there's like a, you know, it's comedy is like, it almost is like grieving in a way. Like it's funny and stuff, but like it is grieving. And so it's so healthy in that way.
Well, I mean, even like the Greeks, they would have satire. We got that word from satyr plays that would come like after there was a drama. Mm-hmm. Then they would do that exact same play, but then there would be like fart noises and burping and like weird, just to relieve you from having watched the drama that we just watched.
Yeah, you slip on a banana and that's how you stab yourself.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
And yeah, I think, I mean, this is like a pretty good common thing that they say in running, but like pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that's true and definitely creative stuff too.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's like, I got this advice before I just ran a marathon, and I got this advice before that I really like owned, which was that pain is just a sensation. Mm. And I thought that was such a better way to feel it than like pain is a bad thing or pain is a threat. It's like, it's a sensation.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah. I think that helps you sort of emotionally disconnect from it. It's like I had a yoga teacher once say, like, you are not the wave. You know, you're someone that's in the ocean. I forget exactly how she said it, but like, you're in the ocean, but you're not the wave. You're observing the wave.
Oh, interesting.
And I think when you associate yourself too personally with pain, that's when like pain can really start to overtake you.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
How many marathons have you run?
I've run 2. I feel like I've only really run 1 because the first one was like, I wasn't fully prepared or healthy for it, but I've run 2.
And do you like that distance now, or?
I am enjoying the challenge of it. It is really painful and really different than the track. It's just like much less glamorous in a way. But that makes me curious about it, because I'm like, okay, I can like be a student of this and learn it just like I learned the track.
For our listeners, like what is your general, what is your event? Like what are you used to running it?
So I ran the 10K at the Rio Olympics, and that's the longest event on the track. It's 25 laps. So it's like, it is a long ways, but it is 6.2 miles, whereas the marathon is 26.2.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're jumping up quite a bit of distance. You're on the roads with marathon.
Yeah.
You're kind of at the I think the elements play a lot bigger role.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, you're kind of at the mercy of that a lot more.
For sure. So I'm kind of a freshman at the marathon right now.
Where are the two that you've run?
I ran the Chicago Marathon, which was so great. That was an amazing experience. They do such an incredible job. Mm-hmm. It's a world-class race, and the fans are really mm-hmm. important there and helpful. And then I just ran the Houston Marathon in Texas. Mm. That was fun. I mean, I love Texas. Our movie premiered at South By, oh, cool. and I ended up actually staying in Texas for like almost 2 months after that, because we were uprooting our home from Mammoth to LA, and I was also healing like an injury, and so it made sense to just stay put in Austin. And so mm-hmm. I've grown like to feel like Texas is a second home. So it was nice to race there.
It's a great place. I love Texas.
Yeah, Austin especially is one of my favorite cities in the U.S.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
It kind of has. I love anywhere that has like hip cowboys and cowgirls. Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally.
Did you start running in like high school, or like how did you get into that part of it?
Okay, so I ran for 2 years in high school, and then I got like kicked off my team. I wasn't a bad kid, but our coaches wanted everyone
too fast,
too multifaceted. They wanted us to like quit everything else we were doing, like student theater, student government, soccer, everything I was doing. And I was just 16 mm-hmm. and I just didn't feel ready to specialize. And so because I was not willing to just run, I wasn't allowed to run. Mm. And so
it sucks,
but I would not be where I am today, because one, mm-hmm. I felt like my body grew into like more of like a female athlete body because mm-hmm. I wasn't running so much. I was playing soccer, but like it allowed me to kind of have normal period, like different than sometimes mm-hmm. long distance running can really like delay your development. Yeah. So I was grateful for that. And mm-hmm. then also I found improv theater mm-hmm. in college, because when I got to college, I was not good enough to be on the travel team. And so I had this time mm-hmm. and I found improv theater at Dartmouth. And that has become like it was a really catalyzing thing for my creative stuff. So it was good.
That's so interesting, because you hear, you know, kind of stories about some Olympians like that from the time they're a child, that is such as the focus their entire life. So it's great that you got to kind of have a more well-rounded kind of upbringing in childhood to see where what you liked and what you didn't.
Yeah. I think it's always hard to look at a snapshot of where someone is today mm-hmm. and to think that that's where they always were.
Yeah.
And that's why social media is challenging, because you do see people like right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm excited about the book. I'm excited about movies, because I think those mediums tell a little bit more of the story that you don't see. Mm-hmm. And you know, just like with Olympic Dreams, you see a lot off the playing field with that movie.
Absolutely,
and that was that's important to me, because those are the things that we don't assume or know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's talk about the movie. It's called Olympic Dreams, and it's premiering on IFC.
It's premiering on Valentine's Day. It's being released with IFC and theaters nationwide. I think people should see it in theaters, because it's like the grandness of the Olympics mm-hmm. is really fun in a theater, but it will also be available VOD online on Valentine's Day.
You guys and Sonic the Hedgehog, I hope you beat Sonic.
I know. Isn't that so funny? I actually have been noting, and I was like, all right, that's what we're up against.
That's hilarious.
Exactly.
Rom-com set in the Olympic Village or Sonic?
Jim Carrey, Dr. Robotnik is going to be hard to pass up. But.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
And did you created the movie with your husband, Jeremy Teicher. Mm-hmm. And what was the how did you guys come up with the idea? Like, what was the inspiration behind the movie?
So we were given this opportunity to make like a film project in the Olympic Village. So it's the first movie that's ever been made like behind the scenes. No one's ever been allowed to like go into the game room, go into the village itself. Mm-hmm. And so once we knew we had that access, we were like, okay, we also want to tell a story that is about the side of Olympism or being an Olympian that mm-hmm. is also, you know, rare territory or that people haven't looked at before. And so the movie starts with her competition rather than building up to her competition. Mm-hmm. And that's because I felt like the most surprising thing about being an Olympian was the feeling of the moment afterwards, mm-hmm. which is something that you just don't prepare for, because if you did, you probably wouldn't get there in the first place. And mm-hmm. so we really wanted to look at the challenge that is the moment after mm-hmm. your dream comes true mm-hmm. or doesn't, but it is it's the moment after.
Yeah, there's so much life that still has to happen after once you've.
Well, and I think especially with that kind of thing, because it's such a short amount of time, you know, the event is, you know, it's like could be a few seconds out of years that you're training for. And that's in athletics in general, you know, it's like it has those finite moments. And like that's what's nice about balancing with creative stuff is you do, you know, we're all comedians and people, you'll get paranoid about being in like, you know, the industry. And we're like, oh, it's fine. We're going to ripen at 40 or whatever. You know what I mean? But it feels like the opposite.
Yeah. And that it's funny that you say that because I do feel very comforted by the fact that with the creative stuff, like your body isn't like the hinge point on whether you can do it or not.
Yeah,
I mean, it's important that you're healthy and this and that, but it's not quite as like precise as athletics. And
aging out in the same kind of way, for sure. Yeah.
And there's so many role models that we probably all have that are like way older than us in the creative world, which is so cool.
Well, it's like Joan Rivers was doing stand-up literally like the week that she passed away.
Did you feel at all a crossroads at any point in your career? Because where you were like, I need to choose either going the improv route or the running route.
Yeah. Like I think that it is a misconception that I've do all these things at once. I'm always like very aware of what my number one goal is at any one time. And so when I close to the end of college, my running like started to improve in a way where I could potentially keep going with it. And I had the option to like go to grad school for creative writing, like very, very like well-funded top programs. And I felt sick when I turned those down to chase the Olympic dream. And it was honestly, it was with the advice of creative advisors that I chased the athletic dream because no Olympic coach is going to tell you to not go do the creative stuff and no creative person. It's weird because it took the other person to help me understand what I should do.
Yeah.
And it was my creative advisors, like my mentors who were like, look, there's this unique window of time where your body can really bloom. Just do that and it will help your creative work in the long run. And it has. But there was always like a priority at any one time. And it was for a big chunk of it was running. And the filmmaking was like fitting into the like periods of time in my day in between. But like I could not stay up past a certain time. That was Jeremy. And that's why having a teammate was so helpful because like I can't pull an all-nighter during that time, but he can, you know?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how strict are you? So you just trained for a marathon. Are you pretty religious about your training schedule when you're training for a marathon and have a project in the books?
So I think my priorities like shifted after the last Olympics or in the last year, since we premiered the movie at South By, we've made the move from me being in a training group where you meet at a certain time every day, a certain place, to living in LA where I have a coach who works with me remotely and I don't have a team anymore. And so clearly my life is evolving. And I think that's important with running, that it grows with you. So you don't feel like it's at odds with like your heart or something. And so now I'm doing like fewer double runs and I wake up early sometimes to run because we have a meeting or I don't nap. And so like, I'm not saying I'm being like a less committed athlete. It's just that my priorities are shifting. And so I think I'm just being a little more agile with what my goals are now.
Right. And was that a conscious decision you made after the Olympics?
Yeah, I think so. After the Olympics, I experienced like a post-Olympic depression that wasn't dissimilar to like probably like what Penelope's beginning to feel.
Right.
And every Olympian kind of goes through this thing. And so it took me a while to like just, you know, I got professional help. Like, so for a while I was working on just being a healthy, stable person who could make smart decisions. And for a while I wasn't. And so like, it wasn't like the minute I finished the Olympics, I shifted. It was like, I was like Penelope. I was like, what is going on now?
Yeah.
And it took me a few years to kind of like find my stability, find my body health, and then be able to make this transition. So it really wasn't until South By this past year that we made the move here. Awesome. Takes a while.
Cool.
All right, guys, we're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back with Alexi Pappas.
Hey,
Hey, welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Alexi.
Hello.
Hey.
Alexi, we're going to play a game with you called Who, What, When, Where, Why. You can answer these questions any way you interpret them.
Okay.
Okay.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Why?
First question. Who did you have a picture of in your locker growing up?
I had a picture of Mia Hamm in my locker growing up, which I admired. I guess most people probably have like maybe boy crushes, but I really looked up to soccer players. I realize I don't know what you meant by that question, but
no,
for me,
that's
what we meant.
Who's Mia Hamm for? I don't know.
She was a like World Cup winning soccer player, and she famously wore sweatbands, and so I would copy her and wear sweatbands.
Aw, I love that. Have you gotten a chance to like interact with her ever, like since then?
Or? I've never met her. It would be very cool to meet her someday, because back then I think there wasn't social media, and so soccer players were really the most visible female athletes, and they were like rock stars, and they were good role models, I think. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
And that team, she went to the World Cup, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was the 99. Like, it was a big...
I remember that.
I was at the perfect age to be a perfect fan for Mia Hamm.
Totally. And that just shows you like the importance of representation, too. And like you actually became a professional athlete looking up to someone like that.
Yeah.
This is going to get me all pissed off about how the women's soccer team doesn't make enough money, but... awesome. Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. What do you do to unwind and end your day?
So I think for me, what builds my willpower back up is cooking, honestly.
Oh, cool.
Like I find it very relaxing to me. Like, and I think part of that was like I grew up with my dad and my brother. And my dad's a great cook, but he worked a lot. And so there wasn't always like we didn't always know like what we were eating or when he was going to come home. And so honestly, food was like, it was a little stressful in a way. Cause I just never knew if it was like, should I cook dinner? It was just confusing. And so now I feel like I'm very happy to be like preparing things and thoughtfully putting out a meal. Mm-hmm. And it sounds so like domestic, but like,
no, it's Well, it's like a tactile thing too. And I feel like when you're working in a creative headspace so much of the time too, it's nice to do stuff with your hands to be that is the completed thing that's done in front of me.
You can accomplish that task.
I will say one of my favorite things about running is the eating too.
But at a professional level, it like becomes like you're like a machine that you have to like, I enjoy it, but I will also look forward to a time when like I don't have
to
like.
It's not about fuel or something.
Yes. Yeah. It's like fuel rather than like something. Fuel is really the right word.
I definitely noticed that in the movie. And I'm sure you guys did it intentionally, but before you run, it's like a very like, I must get this food in me type of feeling.
Yes. There's a little like less joy
before
in
before the
some
cross
ways.
Country. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a part of your job at that
right,
point, you know?
Right.
What kind of stuff do you like to cook?
So we have a routine now, and this was one of the cool things about moving from Mammoth to LA is that in Mammoth, while beautiful, gorgeous, and I loved it, there was like one grocery store and you were never surprised there. And so now we have a routine of going to the farmer's market once a week and getting like a lot of produce. And then I have meat delivery from Butcher Box and
one of our sponsors.
Offer code.
Oh, really?
Offer code L2L.
Offer code L2L for the listeners.
Oh my gosh. I love Butcher Box. I love Smoothie Box. I have Butcher Box, Smoothie Box, and then Kettle and Fire broth delivered to me.
Nice.
And so basically what I do, it's like a game because I have this like fridge full of produce after Saturday farmer's market. And then I have this meat in our, you know, whatever, in our stock and I will just like figure out a way to plow through the whole thing. We use the pressure cooker a lot.
Oh yeah.
I love how you can just like put it in and like it's like a surprise.
I need to get one. I'm scared of
that Instapot.
Don't be scared.
They're so great.
Oh, they're awesome.
Honestly, I love Butcher Box. I love it so much.
Yes.
We got the like lamb. Anyway, that was like that was like one of the specials, and I cooked like I was craving red meat and I'm Greek and I felt like lamb was like before my marathon. I felt like it was like me fueling myself from my ancestors or something, because lamb is a very Greek thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It is nice to have, because it is I'm trying to cook more and it is making me, because it's just in my it's in my freezer. I've got to like use it.
And it's quality, because I think some people have issue with meat, but it's really just quality. You need to go after like
get the good the right stuff.
And it's not I don't love going to the grocery store, and so this is allowing me to like do the farmer's market. And the,
I have to like stay away from the grocery store because I just love shopping, and it's just another extension of me shopping, buying shit I don't need. You know,
I feel overwhelmed.
So I'll buy the stuff that I need, but then I'll just be like, you know, there's like 50,000 Oreos,
of course.
I'm like, oh, look at the new Oreo, and I'm like, no, stop. I also like getting domestic though because. I like it as getting older because a lot of people, you know, we know it's like everyone's like leaning into those things.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily domestic. It's just like healthy for you and it's like feels good.
Yeah.
And totally. My friend was talking. He's like, I'm so old. I knit and I've like pickling beets. And I was like, just sounds like you're living a great life.
You're just enjoying life.
That sounds nice. Yeah.
Well, and it's like, it's all good. It's my pleasure to pay for a meal that I can't cook. I don't like paying for meals that I could have made.
I always do that too. I'm like, I can't poach an egg, so I'm getting all like holidays or whatever. Eggs totally.
I think cooking also just makes you be mindful of everything you're eating because you literally are the one that sat there and chopped it and peeled it and did all that. So I think like you can, in my view, you can eat whatever the fuck you want as long as you're cooking most of your meals. Like you're not going to go like that's outside the bounds of what you should be eating.
For sure.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to make a fucking quarter pounder or something.
Right.
No. Right. No, for sure.
Where is your dream run? Or have you done it?
Well, I feel like I bloomed as like a running person in Oregon, so like I'll always like I'll always
so
love going back to those like overgrown
like
mossy near mythical trails. I think that is like my place
where
I will, and I will make an effort to go back and visit Oregon for that reason.
That's beautiful.
Is trail running your favorite?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh man, it's hard.
It's hard.
The trail half that I did was like as hard as a fool.
Oh, see, and I haven't raced on trail. I just love running on it because pace doesn't matter when you run on trail.
Right.
Because there's so much effort in just getting from here to there or
without
just
eating shit.
Time on your feet.
I can imagine a race would be really hard on that.
Yeah.
Is that the one where you like camped? Do you have caffeine or is it a different one?
Yeah. It was like, it was like the most off the grid race I've ever done. And you had to like bring your own tent. And
where
it
was it?
It was outside of Santa Barbara in a place called Red Rocks.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It was really beautiful. But I mean, the half was nothing. There was people there doing, you know, like 100K that day.
Wow.
And 50K. But yeah, the race started out with like just a guy with a shotgun and he like fired it into the air at like 5 o'clock in the morning. He's like, you guys probably just found out this isn't your average run.
Oh my gosh. He's like the crazy coach you never had.
Exactly.
Like, okay. Yeah, that's great.
And I had a girlfriend with me who had never run a half before.
Oh,
and I didn't like look at the course that much before telling her to sign up. And I was like, they're not all like this. Sorry.
Right. That's great.
That's why it must be cool. Cause we, you know, we travel together like a decent amount and Tess will go on runs and stuff. And, I feel like it is, you know, you're getting to see like another perspective than a lot of people do. Cause I mean, I love walking everywhere. I'm not a runner, but I think that's a cool way to like see the world. You know,
you see a city more, like you see a lot on a run. Yeah. I mean, you just like,
I think running just heightens your senses so much too that it's really cool to be in a new place where you're already your brain's already trying to take in everything and having like what's the word on a camera? Aperture?
Yeah.
Having your mental aperture wide open.
Wow.
Feels really good in a new city.
I love that.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Let's see. When is it time to give up?
That's such a great question. Maybe like the moment before and like before you become bitter. I think like,
I better give up.
I just think like the only thing I never want to be is bitter. Mm-hmm. And, I think that comes from a person or a circumstance where you've overstayed your tenure.
How do you think you can tell when you're overstaying your tenure? Cause what's the difference between that and knowing you should push yourself?
I got the best advice I've ever gotten in my life was from my Olympic coach, and I had a tough workout this one day and wasn't hitting my splits, and he was like, whatever, it's the rule of thirds. And I was like, oh, what's the rule of thirds? And he said, when you're chasing a dream, like, or doing anything hard, you're supposed to feel good a third of the time, okay a third of the time, and crappy a third of the time.
Oh, wow.
And if the ratio is off, if you feel too good all the time, then you're not pushing yourself. And if you feel too crappy all the time, then you're fatiguing. And so I think when you say, how do you know when you're going over the edge? I think if you look at those thirds, one, that really gives you a pleasure in those the crappy third because it means you're doing it. Mm. But it also, I think, keeps you in check about the ratio and making sure that it's not all crappy or all good, because those ratios won't get you to your dream.
Oh, wow. I like that a lot. I've never heard that.
I love that's a lot better than the comedy rule of threes.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it changed my life.
No, that's really great.
That is like life changing because it's hard. Yeah, especially I think in creative stuff, you can go through a slump, and the now feels like the forever always. So you're like, is this the reality?
No,
so
but thinking, it's part of it. You're just like, or in a relationship, like it's not supposed to be. That's a dream. Right. It's a dream to be in love, right? And so, it's not easy.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we talked about it here, but that's the thing I struggle with the most now creatively is like, because, you know, I've been doing this for a while, over a decade, and like, it's fucking hard to keep pushing.
Yes.
Yeah. When you're like, I know I'm good at this and I know I'm whatever, but like, it doesn't seem to be getting compensated for. It's like, it can be, and I find myself getting bitter sometimes. I'm pretty good at staying away from that, but like, I hate that feeling. It's like, I don't want to feel that, but when it creeps in there, it's like, ugh.
Yeah,
yes. Some people like deal in bitterness too. Like, it's like, it's their comfort, or it's like, and I just like cannot, I don't want to be around it, and I don't want to. Because it doesn't feel good to me. It feels negative.
It's not a productive.
Well, I think it goes back to what you were talking about having pain be a guest that you're expecting at the table, too. That's kind of part of looking at it that way.
Oh, for like, sure.
Yeah, this is the inevitable part.
Right, right. Totally.
Yeah.
I love that. Wow.
Okay, last question. Why is this so hard?
Like the creative stuff, or you're saying I should interpret it?
Whatever.
Okay.
No,
it's great. Well, I think. Why is this so hard? Well, because the things that we're doing are like privileges and not rights. Like I think art, comedy, professional running, Olympic running. They're all like these privileges that we earn. And so it's going to be hard because they're not things that people hand to you. I think the bright side of that is that there's so much gratitude in when you can chase it because you know you've earned it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard because it's a privilege and we have to earn it, I think. And it's good because it's a privilege and we have to earn it.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
You got all the answers.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
If it was multiple choice, I would have failed because I always failed those.
I would always try to make like the pattern, but be like, if I don't know the answer, what would look pretty to go next?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Not how you take a test.
All right, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back in a second. Hi, we're back in Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm here with Alexi.
Hello.
And we're going to do a lady problem. If you have one, why don't you send it to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady. Lady problems. Lady. Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
Dear ladies, y'all, I got a problem. First of all, I know you like the details, so I'm 26 and my working situation is a bit complicated. I've had to move countries around every 4 to 6 months, and I've been doing this for almost 3 years at this point. I love what I do, I've made amazing friends, and it's incredibly rewarding, but trying to date is almost impossible. I feel like I can't date anyone because I move around so much. I've had one good relationship with long distance, but it was incredibly difficult and we decided to end it. I know that I'm only 26, but I see friends in the same profession as me, and some are younger than me and managing to pull off relationships. I tried dating a coworker, I know, stupid, and that was a disaster of global proportions, and I have been condemned to live in four countries with him. I know I should be grateful for the opportunity to survey tons of international dick, but I'm getting to the point where I want something more serious. I'm going to continue in this job for at least another year, which means more moving, so my question is, how can I contend with the fact that I'm going to be single for a while? Am I being dramatic about wanting a relationship? Should I just wait and try when I'm more settled down? Or should I just keep hoeing around the world and hope that I get lucky finding someone? Thanks for your advice. I look forward to hearing you every week.
I mean,
if you want a relationship, you want one. You can't really like change what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're being dramatic about wanting that.
No.
No.
But obviously you can't force it. I think, you know, you might find somebody you really like in those hoe adventures.
I think stop assuming that everyone you meet is only going to be for 3 or 4 months because you never know what's going to happen in your life.
Totally.
If you meet like the love of your life, he's going to do long distance with you for a little bit and then you guys
yeah,
end
you're,
up in the
you'll
right
figure
place
it out if they're the right person.
Yeah. So I think regardless of what your life situation or your work situation is, I would just like try to keep staying present with everyone that you meet.
Am I meant to answer this too?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Jump on in.
Well, my husband, I have a husband, so I can speak to this. We were long distance for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
People were very skeptical of it, but we felt very strongly that like we each needed to be pursuing. We knew what our goals were, which I think we talked about earlier. And my goal was taking me to a different place than his goal. And that those goals were ahead of our like romantic goals. And so we just did what we had to do. And I think we didn't think too far in advance. And I think that's good advice for anyone chasing a dream is to like, don't plan your life more than a year in advance because that will usually, you will limit yourself because usually you will assume less is possible than it really is. Mm-hmm. And then I think you said you wanted to do this for another year. And so just prioritize. If your goal and your number one priority is to work for another year, then stop squeezing so tight on the relationship thing and maybe it will come. But just knowing that you've chosen and seeing your work as a choice rather than a sacrifice will make you feel less bitter during this time.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
How did you and Jeremy meet?
We met at a party when I wasn't great at running and I was going to parties at Dartmouth. So, you know, everything is for a reason.
Yeah.
He knew me as like a creative person, not an athlete. Mm-hmm. And then we really didn't plan on dating long distance, but we just had to. Like, we started out, I think, in an open relationship, mm-hmm. and we were just like, I don't want to kiss anyone else. And then, you know, you just do what you have to do.
Yeah. How long was it before you guys actually were able to live in the same place?
3 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
It was not, though, because I knew why we were doing it. Like,
right.
I think, like, it mm-hmm. was, and, like, there were times where I was like, we need to fly and see each other, but, like, as long as you know your goals, mm-hmm. you'll always and as long as your actions are pointing towards the goal that you have, you'll know why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I always think of like dancing, how you like spot somewhere and then you spin and that's where you end up.
Oh.
Like
yeah.
just keep your spot in the right place. And
yeah.
I agree. She seems centered on work right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But she could think about that and be like, are you? And
yeah.
you are. And commit it for that period of time. I think people so often like they commit to a goal and then they question it while they're in the crock pot or in the pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that's just gonna kick yourself in the shin if you're questioning the goal itself in the incubator time mm-hmm. when you're supposed to be chasing the goal.
I have a hard time. Goals are hard. I have too many of them. I never follow through on anything. It's too, how do you like,
that's
how do you
problem.
Do that? I know.
You write it down and then
I've written them all down. They don't.
Do you have a period of time? I mean, here's the thing. I'm pretty insensitive in that, like, mm-hmm. I will take your goals very seriously. So like, I'm not like the right person to come to and be like, things are hard. Can we talk about it's hard? And I'm like, no. Like, what do you want? And like, we'll get you there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it makes me like a challenging friend to have because like, I won't like, you won't cry on my shoulder.
No,
we'll figure it
good.
Out.
I mean, yeah, that's good.
Good though. Yeah.
So you write it down and then you commit to it for a period of time that you've set for yourself where you don't question it during that time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you check in and you see like, how far have I made it? Or like, do we need to pivot? Or is the goal unreasonable? Unless something like crazy happens, you have to give yourself a period of time to just be chasing it without questioning it.
Yeah. Do you only try to set like one big thing at a time? Because as you were saying, you kind of like go between the athleticism to the creative stuff. That's the problem I find I have is I have too many, you know, yeah. they're mostly creative, but there's still just no way you could do them all. So that's yeah. like mm-hmm. the hard part, I think, is like, okay, pick one thing or pick two things. You
yeah.
know?
Or just like, don't be shocked when like number 4 on the priority list gets bumped, like bumped and bumped again mm-hmm. because of 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know,
that makes sense.
Is 3 like your, I mean, do you have like a number of like big goals that you have at any one point?
Yeah. We have, Jeremy and I keep a whiteboard and we write everything down. So we have one whiteboard is like the goals, and the other whiteboard is like our weekly schedule. And we write down like what we have that week. And those are, yeah. So yes, we write things down and we talk about it constantly. And because we have to, because we don't have a boss. Mm-hmm. We are the boss.
Yeah. Right.
So we have to like be communicating with each other, and it's like we're a team. And so there has to be no ego about like, if I need to go to bed and he needs to work, mm-hmm. that's just how the team is working right now.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot of like honesty, I think, with each other, and like, it's just, and also just how do we, I think the balance of like our relationship, we've gotten better at like prioritizing like when are we working and when are we connecting with each other. Mm-hmm. That's been a process.
Yeah. Do you have to set boundaries? Like, okay, we're going to the movies. We're not going to talk about our movie. Like, do you set those boundaries intentionally?
That's gotta be impossible.
We always talk about it because we love it. But I think a really great vocabulary word I learned recently was like trying to differentiate between work time and connecting time, because before I was calling it like work time and relaxing time. But someone pointed out to me, I have like, I work with this team called the Human Nutrition Project, and they like help advise on like my blood work and my nutrition, but also like kind of like sports psychologists. Mm-hmm. And they were like, when you call it relaxing time, you could be doing that totally separate from each other. So if the point is like, are we working, Jeremy and I, or are we connecting, then I should use the word connecting. Anyway, that's just, but semantics really matters.
It really does matter. Because it's like you could be relaxing, just watching Netflix and not speaking to each other at all.
Yeah, just kind of zoning out on your phones or something.
Or you can connect that way. Just like, like identifying it and being
this
like.
This is mindful about it.
Yes. I think that's what, to your point, it's like, it doesn't matter what your goals are, what you're doing, as long as you know like what you're doing in any one moment has intention. Even if it's like my intention right now is to veg out and watch TV because I'm recharging, then like do it with intention. Mm-hmm. I think I'm like kind of I am disciplined about that.
Yeah.
Do you set an intention every morning, like what your intention for the day is?
Well, that's the whiteboard. It's this is what we're doing with our time. Mm-hmm. Things get shuffled because of our priorities. So sometimes like someone will call and everything gets knocked around or whatever. Yeah. But that's because we know that that's the priority. Mm-hmm. So, I have things I tell myself that I've worked on with the same team at the Human Nutrition Project. That they've helped me like figure out what it is that I need to tell myself, for my own, like whatever's challenges me. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I have things I tell myself.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
How many post-its in the mirror?
I don't have any of those.
It's just the whiteboard.
No, because they said actually that like you process it better if you like say it out loud, or if you like say it in your head to yourself versus like just reading things, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know. It's helped me. So.
That makes sense. It's never worked for me to like write it and just have it there. It makes more sense if you have to like say it.
Yeah. Cause I think the brain, it's cause it's like there's sound, like the brain is just like all these cells and there's like waves and like, I don't know. Maybe
well,
like
so you just get used to it. It just blends into the or whatever eventually.
Yeah. I've started recently, like things that I really want, I've started saying them out loud. Like, this is what I'm doing. This is happening. And I have felt like a different sort of impact. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in them coming to fruition yet, but them feeling
just
more
for
real
yourself,
in the process. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Do we have any other things for Our Lady? I mean, I think like, she just do your thing and don't get too caught up in the,
I mean, the thing with dating stuff is like, this is so cliche and no one wants to hear it when they're single, but like you don't, could be anytime, anywhere.
It's going to find you when you're not least expecting it.
Yeah.
Which is really a thing.
And I think you're going to, the bottom line is like, you're going to meet the best person when you're your best self. Mm-hmm. So I think it's like a trust thing too. It's just like, trust that when you're living your closest truth, you're going to just naturally attract the right person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, like you're living in all these different places like for the next year. And it's like, you know, don't try to take that pressure off of yourself, because like this is the only time that this is sounds like this is going to happen in your life, too. You know, it's like enjoy that for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like
anyone single. Oh, my gosh. Just enjoy it. You never know when you're going to fall in love, and you'll never get that time back when you were your single self. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Like, enjoy that moment. I mean, I loved being single. I mean, living in a studio and staying up till 5 o'clock in the morning watching reality TV. Like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you can never be like a freshman. Yeah,
you know, like, totally. Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't want to do it again once you're done, but you're like happy you really did
it's a good sign that you know you're kind of reaching the end of that, you know, because like it obviously does get old after a while, no matter what version of it is. But I think, yeah, you know, you. I think you sound like pretty sure of yourself. It's just kind of like the annoyance of when you're like, oh, I really wish I had a regular like person here who I love, but
yeah,
I can't force that shit. So meet a guy on Tinder, make him take you to the top of a Holiday Inn in Paris.
Yeah,
I can send you his name.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I think just have some adventures and I mean, it sucks that the coworker thing didn't work out, but that shit happens.
Also, I think we need to remove the stigma around dating coworkers. Like, is it there happens. Stigma?
I think people do it.
I feel like comics, we were not supposed to date other comics.
No,
but it's
literally everyone does that. Exactly. I don't think that's even a stigma anymore.
Well, that's a big thing at the Olympic Village, right?
Oh, yeah. Isn't everyone like hooking up there? That's the deal.
Speaking, go see the movie. definitely do go see the movie. It's absolutely adorable and charming and fascinating.
And
and
you guys doing improv a lot of the time, right?
How is it working with Nick Kroll?
He's amazing. He's really talented. He's a great teammate. He's a great actor. He's a great person. And I'm not going to tell you anything because you should go see the movie. He's great. He's very romantic in this movie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ha-cha-cha.
And it is cool. Yeah, you are like right in there in the Olympic Village.
Yes.
No one's ever shot a narrative movie in there before. So you really like feel the energy of everything of actually living in there, which is neat.
Yes, it's the most coveted secret place on earth. So
in our,
I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. In 2000, I don't know, whenever the Olympics were, in 2002, when the Winter Olympics were in Salt Lake, I lived there and they kicked us out of our dorm so the Olympians could live in the dorms. So I'd like move home and we left some notes for the people, so I hope they found them.
Oh, that's awesome. Nice. That's so cute. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know. I was such a piece of dirt though. We moved back because we only had a few months to come back and I just brought a sleeping bag. I didn't bring sheets or anything.
To your mom's house?
No, to move back to the dorms.
Oh, yeah.
Because we only had a few months left because it was like in the middle of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to. I just brought a sleeping bag and slept on top of my. That's okay. I was in college, right?
Yeah.
It's fine.
College is just 4 years of summer camp, basically.
Well, Alexi, where can everyone find you online and find out about the movie?
The movie has a website, which is olympicdreams.movie. Mm-hmm. I am on Instagram, and it's just my name, Alexi Pappas. AlexiPappas.
And seriously, whether you're an athlete or not, whether you're a creative person or not, I really recommend following her because you're very inspirational.
Yeah. But we're going to go on a run together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yes.
I was like, I was like, you guys need to be friends, love God. Yeah. Please, for my sake.
Yeah.
And you have a book coming out later in the year?
Yes.
As well?
Called Bravey with Random House.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Look for that. Thank you so much for doing
this.
Thank you. Yeah. Really appreciate it. And if you're a Patreon member, go to patreon.com/ladytolady and we'll see you over there on Friday. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review in iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.